Back in 2005, the U.S. Post Office had more than 214,000 vehicles. In 2014, just 9 years later, the number of vehicles for the Post Office dropped to just over 211,000. Back in 2005, the U.S. Post Office was visited by 1.23 billion retail customers. In 2014, the number of retail customers dropped to just under 9.9 million. In 2005, the mail volume for first-class single-piece mail numbered 5.9 billion pieces. By 2014, that number dropped to 21.5 billion, a decrease of about 50%. When we look at mail, the sending, the receiving of mail has undergone some substantial changes in the last 10, 15 years. We, depending on where we live, may know of a post office that's actually closed. We, if we use a computer, probably know that electronic messages have sometimes been able to replace letters. Video calls have sometimes eliminated our need for the old-style mail. So-called snail mail is less common, but at least as of today, it is by no means gone. Most of us at some point get something from the U.S. Post Office. We get, because of that service, a letter. We may get a bill. We may get a magazine or some kind of statement. This morning, we want to think about mail. And we want to think about mail from a very specific perspective. We want to think about mail from the standpoint of letters. For the foreseeable future, I want to spend some time going back to first principle lessons, that is, the fundamentals of the faith, the basics of Christianity. We may not have ever thought about it, but when we look at the Bible, the church is described in all kinds of ways. We, of course, have some major descriptions for the church, and we're probably familiar with those. If a sermon were presented on the body, the kingdom, the field, or the church being like an army, we've heard those lessons surely several times. But this morning I'd like to toss out a thought which may be new for your consideration. Have you ever considered the fact that the church is not only described in some major ways, the church in the Bible, the church built by Christ, is also described in some minor ways? If you've never looked at the Bible and sought descriptions for the church which are minor descriptions, this might open up an entirely new area of study for you. I'm not going to do a series on these. I may just sort of pop them in from time to time, and that may not all be this year. But this morning, I want to introduce a minor description for the church. And this minor description for the church is a letter. You may not have ever realized it. You may not have ever picked it up from the scripture, but the Bible talks about the church as far as what it is with the image of a letter. Since the church is compared to a letter and the church consists of the people, we could also say that not only congregationally we're like a letter, but it's also true that on an individual basis we also are like a letter. Now if you're thinking in your mind, or maybe you've already seen the outline and you know, but if you're thinking in your mind, where does the Bible refer to the church as a letter? Where is this comparison made? Well, if you've not seen the outline sheet, let's flip over to the book of 2 Corinthians. The letter comparison for the church is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, 2 Corinthians is probably one of the least studied books of the Bible, certainly when it comes to the New Testament. But overlooking this book, not spending much time with the Corinthian letter, is a mistake for a lot of reasons. It's in the first few verses of 2 Corinthians 3 that we find the letter illustration. And when you look at this book, and this includes 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you have information about Paul's life, Paul's ministry. In many ways, 2 Corinthians is a defense of Paul's apostleship, his work among the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, to give you a little bit more of the context, the background, Paul there asked the Corinthians if he needed a letter of recommendation from them. Now that statement should have shocked the Corinthians because Paul was the one, you may remember, from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, he founded this congregation. Paul was a preacher who showed up and helped start this church. And now the Corinthians were questioning some things about Paul. And Paul says, do I, the founder of this congregation, need to have letters of recommendation for you? Well, that would have been silly. Well, that's kind of the background that leads up to 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. And let's look at today's text. 2 Corinthians 3, starting with verse 2 and reading down through verse 3. Paul says, you are our epistle. Now, we may not use the word epistle too often. We would use the word letter. But if you want to know Paul's point, if you want to appreciate his illustration of the church, Paul says, you, the Corinthian church, you are our letter. So there it is. The church of the Bible is described as a letter. And then as he talks about this letter, he says this, written on our hearts. Known, read of all men, being made manifest that ye are an epistle, Once again, we can swap out the word epistle for letter. You are a letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in tables that are hearts of flesh. Paul said the Corinthian church was like a letter. And as he made this point, he said, it's a letter. You're a letter which can be read by others. The lives of these Christians, Paul said, was like a letter that had not been written with pen and ink. It was a letter which was written by the Spirit of God. Well, this morning, let's think about the church, whether it's us, another congregation, or the church as a whole, perhaps, in a certain place, and then our individual lives in terms of a letter. Any time that we get a letter, when we go out to the mailbox, perhaps tomorrow, when we went out to the mailbox, perhaps last week, certain things are always true when it comes to letters. First, when we think about a letter, every single letter has a sender. Letters just don't come out of thin air. Every single letter is being originated from somewhere and by someone. Secondly, if a letter is properly processed, that letter will be delivered. Third, as we think about a letter, it may not be ink in today's world. Sometimes a person might use pencil, but there is going to be something used to inscribe some information not only on the envelope, but also inside with the contents. Inside the letter, there's going to be some type of news, generally. The news may be good, the news may be bad. But what's inside that letter is designed to communicate some information. It's designed to be read. Finally, as we think about letters, there's something else that's true. Those letters are designed to be opened. And oftentimes, after that letter is opened, we're called on to make some kind of decision. We're called on for action. We're perhaps asked to send in a bill. We're asked to verify that we want something. We're asked to verify a statement to make sure some charges are correct or something else. Well, now that we have a passage before, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, which compares the church to a letter, let's see if we can begin to draw some lessons from this fact. I point us, first of all, to the head of the government mail system that we have. At some point in life, we've probably all heard of the Postmaster General. Now, if you're not familiar with the Postmaster General, here are a couple of quick details about him. The Postmaster General is considered to be the chief executive officer of the post office. And something I didn't know about the Postmaster General is that this office is old. It is a really, really old office. Did you know that the Postmaster General, this position of this office, is older than our Constitution? It is. And when we think about the Postmaster General, as far as this position, it's even older than the Declaration of Independence. So as far as our country is concerned, this goes way, way back. When it comes to a congregation being like a letter, or when it comes to an individual being like a letter, we need to realize that in the spiritual realm, there's also a Postmaster General. There is, we might say, a spiritual chief executive. And this person is the one who we know as Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Christ is the head of the church. He's the CEO. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who makes all the decisions and the rules. Making up rules, creating doctrine, that's not our prerogative. The Lord is the one who has that responsibility. Now, to illustrate, to appreciate the Lord's position, as CEO of the church, we might envision tomorrow our needing to put a letter in the mail. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people keep stamps in a particular place. They may have stamps in a drawer, or maybe keep stamps on a roll in a certain place in the house, maybe the bedroom, wherever it might be. But let's suppose tomorrow that we need to send out a letter. And as we go to our stamp drawer, the place where we keep stamps, maybe there's an envelope. We open it up, and we find that there is only one stamp. And that stamp is an old stamp. It's a stamp which says 48 cents. Well, if you check stamp prices lately, you know that that's not going to cut it. The current price for first-class stamp, an ounce and less, is going to be 49 cents. We're short as we look at that stamp by one penny. But tomorrow we're busy. Monday, first day of the week, as far as our work week, and we're thinking the roads are not the best. I really don't want to go down to the post office and spend another penny to get a penny stamp or spend 49 cents, less than 50 cents, to get the right postage. And then as we think about our situation, we need to mail out this letter tomorrow, but it's a penny short. We reason within ourselves that if we go down to the post office, the gas that's going to cost us to get to the post office is going to be far more than getting the right postage. And as we think a little bit more about this situation, we begin to reason within ourselves, our government is a pretty good government. It's tolerant in a lot of ways. In fact, tolerant seems to be the word of the day. And if we put that stamp out and it's only a penny short, Surely our government is going to be good to us. Surely it's not going to mind if we are just one penny short. Well, as we think about that, we do a little more reasoning. We think about, I've sent many years. So I've used the post office for many years. I've sent all kinds of letters. I've given them a lot of my money over the years. Maybe spent thousands or at least hundreds of dollars. And today the government can give me a break. Surely the government is not going to mind if I am just a single cent short. Surely they would not reject our letter just because it is 1 cent, a single penny short. We know the answer to the question, don't we? Is the post office going to accept that letter or not? They're going to look at that 48-cent stamp and say, it's close, but it's not the right postage. We can't accept that for a first-class letter. You see, when it comes to the postal system, we have two choices. Here's the rule. And the rule is very understandable. And with the rule, there is no flexibility. It is the current cost, the current rate for a postage stamp, or it doesn't get sent. It doesn't get processed. It's going to be returned. Well, we can understand that. Now, the Postmaster General does not set the price for stamps. I understand that. But when we look at the spiritual realm, the one who is the chief executive officer, that's Christ, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the head of the church, Colossians 1, 18 makes the same point. Jesus is the one who sets the rules. Jesus is the one who makes the decrees about what's right and what's not right. He is the one because he has all authority, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. He's the one who has the authority to bind and loose and say, do this and don't do that. Question. If we are not authorized, if it is not permissible to alter the rules for postage just by a penny on a first-class stamp, who do we think we are? When it comes to the spiritual realm and we think we can flip around things in the doctrinal area and not follow the Lord's rules. Lesson number one when it comes to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 and letters. Respect the head of the organization. Respect the CEO. Obey him in all things. Stated another way, we need a thus saith the Lord divine approval for what we do in the spiritual realm. And if we do not live in this way, expect our service and our life to be rejected by God. When we think about a congregation or an individual being like a letter, we find a second lesson in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this second lesson is found in the word delivered. Just moments before Teresa and I pulled out last Wednesday night for class, a FedEx truck pulled up at our house. I was not surprised by that. I was expecting a small box. But as I watched the driver, he had stopped beside the house, he didn't pull into the driveway. As I watched the driver, I didn't see a small package. I saw the driver start to lug a long, large, and heavy box. And I thought, what on earth is that? And he lugged it up the driveway and then kind of with a sigh put that down. And I thought, I better take a look at the box. On the box it said, this is a 7.5-foot Christmas tree. Well, that wasn't ordered by me. So I said, oh, Therese, could you come here, please? Did you order that? And she said, no, not me. So I told the driver, we need to check things out. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. That apparently belonged to a neighbor down the street. And we got our box, and apparently he got his box as well. The chief executive officer of the church has also made a delivery. And he's delivered a very important letter. That letter is the book that we call the Bible. And the Lord's delivery was made correctly. It was made to every single person. But you know, sometimes when it comes to the Lord's delivery, when it comes to the scriptures, there's some people who say, wrong delivery, not my house. I don't want that letter. Send that to somebody else. My life is just fine. I'm perfectly satisfied with the way things are going in my life. But that guy down the street, that family over there, they need the correction. They need the religion. They need their bad behavior fixed. Don't worry about me. God's word has been delivered. And the Bible says, using the letter imagery of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it's been delivered once for all time. Jude verse 3. The message that has been delivered in the Bible is for each one of us. And that message which has been delivered is complete. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it's complete so that the man of God is thoroughly furnished, perfectly furnished unto every good work. The message delivered by God is not partial, neither is it temporary. Well, that's important because in our day and time, there are some people, perhaps some well-meaning people, who claim to receive additional information from God. There are people who think that God is still sending letters to men. We, at various times, hear a lot about the Islamic faith. You may not know it, or you may not think about it too often, But when it comes to the Muslim faith, they believe that God has still delivered some letters after the New Testament era closed. The Quran came along about 600 years after the New Testament was completed. And that fact, just the date of the Quran and the Islamic faith, tells us it's too late. God had sent his letter, Jude 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It's complete, it's fulfilled, it's a permanent deposit of truth. Islam came along 6 centuries later and said, here is a message from God. That cannot be true. If the passages I just gave are accurate, if they are correct, if they're true, no other faith, Islam, the Mormon faith, Mary Baker's Eddy's faith, science, health, key to the scriptures, none of those things can be true. It is only the case that the Bible, if it's false, will permit additional messages to be received from God. When we open a letter that's been mailed to us, typically we're going to find there is a message inside. Sometimes the message is not what we would like. Sometimes the message is you owe a bill, and here's the amount that you need to pay. Another letter might be from a doctor. We're waiting for test results. We want to know whether or not we're sick or healthy. And as the test results arrive, we rip the letter open to see, cancer, not cancer. Are my test results good or bad? There's sometimes when we receive a letter and there's notification about being accepted to something, or maybe there's an award letter. Maybe you've opened a letter which involves some type of scam. And then there is the famous junk mail. Most of us receive that from time to time. God's letter, God's communication with us, is a document which tells us how to live and how not to live, what to do and what to avoid. And you know, the way that we respond to God's letter is going to allow us to create not only reputation, but it's going to allow us to create a letter of our own. When it comes to letters in the physical realm, we can process them in a lot of different ways. I don't know how you deal with letters, but I do know that there are some people who, when they receive a letter, for whatever reason, they don't open it immediately. Maybe they're a little concerned, maybe they're busy, but they'll take that letter and they'll put it on a shelf. Or maybe they go to their kitchen counter and they put it on a specific area. Maybe they know that there's a bill that's going to be due later in the month, and they'll look at it later. So sometimes the letter is set aside, and people sometimes do that with the Bible. They will take God's letter and set it aside. They don't want to trash it. They don't want to destroy it. But now is just not the right time. Now is not a good time. So stick the Bible in a drawer, push it aside, and they'll get to it perhaps at some point in time. If a letter is not immediately opened, sometimes a person will take that document, open it up, and scan the contents. Not every word is read, but, okay, what are the test results, good or bad? Have I been accepted? Have I not been accepted? Let me see what my bill is and so forth. There are times when we want fast news. And it's possible to do a similar thing with God's letter. We might just pick it up and sort of skim through it and read some here and read some over there rather than really studying the letter. I know that there are some people who receive letters that they don't like. And when those undesired letters come, sometimes they're quickly destroyed. There have been people who have received a letter and they decide, I'm just going to rip it up. Or maybe another letter was received and the person was so angry they burned it. And then there may have been a letter which someone didn't want to see, so they cut it up or they took it over to the shredder. Such has also been true with God's letter. There have been people over time who have sometimes burned God's letter. I've heard of people, never actually seen one yet, but have come to some part of God's word, they didn't like it, and they just ripped out the page. Or maybe they just crossed out a verse or just cut out part of a page. In the Bible, we have certainly at least one illustration of someone trying to destroy God's word. But as we look at letters and think about how they're processed, sometimes there's a different kind of letter that comes in the mailbox. There is a letter perhaps that we were anticipating, perhaps not. And as we get this kind of letter, we open it. And it's this kind of letter, or maybe it's a card, that we treasure. It's this kind of letter that we might put in our purse, put in our wallet, put somewhere that's dear to us, and we look at it many times. Have you ever had a letter? Someone wrote to you something that was so valuable, so great, that you read it so many times, you folded it and unfolded it so many times that the paper began to wear thin. There have been those kinds of letters sent throughout the years. This kind of letter might be put into a special place. Special steps might be taken to preserve it. Some of the words associated with that letter might be so precious, they're actually memorized. This is the kind of letter which brings a smile to the face, and joy is stirred in the heart. God says, the letter that I have sent to the world. Once for all time, Jude verse 3, that's what I want you to do with my letter. I want you to read it. I want you to study it. I want you to see the love that's reflected in it. I want you to treasure that letter. And I want you to live out this letter every single day. And if we will do that, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 3 says that we in turn will be like a treasured letter. We might think of our lives in a lot of different ways. But one way that we might view our life is that our life, whether we're young or maybe we've been around for a long time, our life is like a letter. Each of our lives is like a long, long letter. In that letter, there's a section of the bad things that we've done. In that letter, there's a section of the good that we've done. If we're a Christian, a big part of that letter is the forgiveness that we have found and received in Christ. In that letter, there's a record of our trials, our tribulations. Part of that letter would describe our pain. In that letter, there is information about our successes, our victories. Our life is like one giant letter. When we think about the congregation that we're with, whether that's here or somewhere else, this principle is also true. Congregationally, each church is also writing a letter, faithful or unfaithful. In their letter, there's information about whether it is a disobedient church or an obedient church. It is a working church, or is it not? Is it an evangelistic church? Or is it satisfied with the status quo? Is it, as you look at the letter unfold, is it trying to move forward? Or is it content with the status quo and maybe moving backward? Is it a congregation which is trying to be a light to the community? Or is it contributing to the darkness? When we start to think of the Christian life and congregations in terms of a letter, I cannot help but think that there are letters which have some undesirable markings. If we've mailed many letters over the years, we've probably gotten back some letters with some undesirable postage stamps. Let me offer a few of these quickly and make some brief points as far as spiritual application. Suppose that our lives were like a letter which were marked return to sender. Well, in some respects, that's kind of what we find in the Corinthian letter. Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 7, talked about living in sin. When a person makes that kind of choice, living in sin, it's return to sender. God says, that's not going to work for me. There are others who, as we think about their terms in life of a letter and a stamp, their life might be stamped undeliverable. There are some letters which receive that stamp, and such a person in the spiritual realm, we might say that that kind of individual is also unfit for the kingdom of God. Imagine another letter which says insufficient postage. I've gotten back a few of those over the years. Maybe I guessed as far as the weight, and I thought it was under an ounce, but it was maybe 1.1, 1.2 ounces, and the post office said it's insufficient postage, we need more money if you want us to send the letter. As I think about insufficient postage, comparing that to the spiritual realm, it reminds me of faith-only salvation. You're coming up short. You're not doing all that God requires. We might think of some other letters in terms of a refuse stamp, and that's also true. In the spiritual realm, some refuse to hear the gospel. Other letters have an inadequate or the address is illegible. Maybe we're told that an address simply does not exist. Jesus, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is the ultimate postmaster. He sent us a letter. And what we do with that letter is up to us individually. If we stood before Jesus Christ today, if the judgment were to come today, and our lives were compared to a letter, what would that letter say? How would the letter read? Would it open with these words? Redeemed, justified in Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb. As that letter unfolds, as we look at paragraph after paragraph, would it say that this was a faithful warrior, a faithful child of God, and then say perhaps, even to the point of dying for the Lord? I think just about everybody would like that letter because they would know that that letter tells them that they are in a right relationship with God. But you know, then there's some other letters which we wouldn't want to have read. That record, when it's opened up before God, people will say, well, I know how I live my life. The record is clear. I wrote the wrong letter with my time on earth. How sad. How sad not only because a person will have wasted his or her time, but how sad because once that letter is written, once we die, that letter is sealed. There's no way to change it. No way to undo it. No way to, just like when you put that in the post box, you can't typically grab it back. And that's certainly true in the spiritual realm. Our life, thinking of it in terms of a letter. Where are we individually this morning? The right things are being written day by day. Or there is a whole list of bad things. And our letter needs to be one that has a new start. That new start's possible. We can become a Christian if we believe in Christ. Repentance means that we're starting a different kind of letter. We're going to confess that Christ is the supreme postmaster. He is the Son of God, the only one who can save us. We're going to be baptized into Christ. And that's where a new letter starts. In sin, but washed away. Outside of Christ, entered into Christ. And now I'm going to live as a child every single day. Let's think about our letter. And if we can help you change that letter as it applies to your life, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.